Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Farmer Sense Podcast. I'm Rick Willard. With me is Andrew Fuff. How you doing?
Hi, Rick. I just see that you left my name up there.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, Chubby Cobblers. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, it doesn't say Chubby.
It did earlier, and now you've knocked it back a little bit, I guess.
I did.
Nice of you.
Yeah.
Hello, Rick. Yeah. Nice. Super. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. We got a great guest with us today.
We do. We have a celebrity. I feel special. I'm nervous. You said you were nervous earlier.
Yeah, she makes me nervous. Yeah, we had a little, we had a little recording problem earlier. Apparently, Rachel was getting screwed on her internet. She was paying for a really high speed and wasn't getting it. So we had to start things over. So no problem.
So
technical difficulty.
Yeah. So yeah, we're lucky to have Rachel Fish back today. Iowa Farm Mama. Huge following on about every social media. Rachel, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
absolutely.
Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm Iowa Farm Mama on social media, and I farm with my little brother, Vinny, on our family farm here south of town. And then I also have People of Ag, which is a media company to help people with their marketing, or if they have a company and they don't know how to start doing video, come in, do video, and edit it for them to post on social media.
Yeah, you have some amazing content. So you live near a farm, I guess, and your brother, you said, south of town. So what kind of crops do you raise? Do you have any livestock, anything like that?
So I raise corn and soybeans. We don't have any livestock currently. I'd love some livestock again, but yeah, corn and soybeans.
Nice. But you do a lot with Iowa pork, right?
Yeah. So I'm on their PR committee. I just started that about a year ago. And that's been a lot of fun, going and showcasing pork. I used to work in the construction industry for pork production, which is what got me into more and more social media content. And I was teaching people, a lot just about pork production, hog buildings, and things like that.
Awesome. So what's your favorite social media platform?
Right now, TikTok. I really like TikTok just because, their algorithm really aligns you with like-minded people or interests, kind of like how I found you guys, you know, how we all connected that way. You know, their algorithm is pretty spot on.
Yep. No, that's awesome. Yeah. That's how we did meet down in Houston, the Commodity Classic. So it was awesome to run into you down there and meet you. And I was kind of starstruck. I'm like, I know who that is from TikTok.
And I didn't. I felt horrible, but I didn't have TikTok at that time.
No, you were still learning.
Mm-hmm. I was still learning how to scroll down on X.
Jeez.
Man.
So we've talked about your farm, and you farm with your brother, Vinny.
Vinny.
Yes.
Right? And he's the one that's always in his coveralls in your videos, right?
Yeah, and it's really funny. So, we went to the Louisville farm show last year. And so my brother is actually an engineer, and he normally only wears his coveralls when he's at the farm, only because when we were growing up, we had a grind cattle feed, and we always wore overalls like that instead of jeans. And so he just always stuck to wearing the bib overalls when he would come back and help on the farm, because he does live in Indiana, and he just comes back on long weekends to do planting, harvest, and checking on crops. And when we were down at Louisville, people were noticing him. They were like, Vinny, where's your bibs? And he was like, oh my gosh, like I wear more than bib overalls. But, you know, it was so eye-opening to him about the bib overalls, how everyone realizes my brother Vinny is the bib overall guy.
Yeah, I like his name. Just the whole Vince. Yeah, that's a cool name. That isn't something you hear very often anymore. I knew of Vince growing up, but there's only one, and now we got another one. So,
my brother Vinny.
Yeah.
How did he get his name? You said maybe there's a funny story there, or just a story?
No, his real name is Vincent. Okay. I'm not even sure. I'll have to ask my parents why they chose that name, but I guess I don't know that story. But everybody around here calls him Vinny. That was just his name when we were growing up, and it just kind of stuck. So when he comes back to town, everybody's like, hey, Vinny. So, <yeah. laughs>
it's just you and him. You know, other siblings?
Well, we're actually the oldest of five, but we're the okay. two that farm together. So, okay. yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought there was more out there, but yeah, so seventh generation.
Correct.
You were started in the 1840s. Is that when? Before yeah, Iowa was a state.
Yes. So yeah, our great, great, great grandpa, I don't know all the greats that go in there, but he settled in that area and bought a farm. And they ended up having four sons. And every time a son would get married, he would buy the next farm over and just keep doing that. So all of the barns down on that gravel road, a lot of they all had the same design. That was part of their wedding gift. And so back in the day, like even some older farmers, they still refer to it as Stout Avenue. And, you know, then they went, you know, when it was rural route addresses here in Iowa, now we have 911 streets. But yeah, that's been kind of a cool story, kind of a cool connection that my brother and I are back farming that. He actually ended up going to a neighbor who was an out-of-state owner and purchased one of the family barns. That's where we keep all of our equipment, just down the road. But that's been kind of fun. Our family did a lot of a lot of history diaries, and I used to read them on TikTok, and I should go back to doing that. But when that son got married, we don't know what the snafu was, but they didn't build the barn for like 2 years, and so I don't know if someone didn't like the design or what it was going on. But yeah,
it's probably an argument with the woman. Something was going on there.
Something was happening.
Yeah.
I don't know that you have time to go back and start reading stuff like that. You're like one of the busiest people that I know. If you just follow along on TikTok of what you're doing, it's like, well, you were at a fireman's breakfast, a pancake breakfast one day. And then yesterday you were going to what? Kelowna for pie, the best pie around or something? Is that true?
No, like I love showing different parts of Iowa and the restaurants. And, you know, they refer to, you know, our area as the flyover states. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for all the businesses and things that we have going on right here in the Midwest. So I love showcasing it. Yeah, last week I went to the Kelowna Sale Barn. Because I wanted pie and they have good pie. So I went there. Yeah.
What kind of pie was it? I'm curious.
I got the peach pie, but they had like six different kinds. I was torn between peach, raspberry, and strawberry. So.
Gotcha. The Sale Barns has some of the best food. I don't know why. I don't, but it just is what it is.
Well, it has to be farmer food, and that's like, yeah. So it has to be good. No coconut cream though.
That, you know, I don't remember if they had coconut cream this time. They did have some cream pies, but I prefer fruit pies. So
okay, yeah, I'm peach or coconut cream for sure. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, my mom used to make pie for every single meal when I was growing up. My dad had to have dessert for every – well, he still does, but now it doesn't have to be a pie. But every single day she'd make a pie, and so would my grandma. But, well, my grandma probably every couple days because it was just her and grandpa, but – yeah, growing up, pie every day. And then she made cakes too. She used to decorate cakes for weddings and graduations and stuff.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, I got a sweet tooth. We all do.
So do I. Like, it's funny. Like, my friends, you know, some of their families didn't have dessert. Like, I remember being at a friend's house, eating supper with them. I mean, like, what's for dessert? And they all kind of looked at me. They're like, we don't do dessert. And I was like, okay.
That's how you know you're done eating. Otherwise, I just don't stop, and I have to have something sweet just to end
that
it.
That must be my problem. We don't do dessert here. We don't. And so I just don't know when to stop eating. I'll have to bring that up. So,
you know, something crazy. My great-grandma, so I was very fortunate. I was the oldest grandchild on my dad's side, and then towards the oldest on my mom's side. And we all knew our great grandparents growing up. And I had a great grandma. She would go out to eat, and she would eat dessert first so that she knew that she'd have enough room for her dessert. So,
yeah, my
did that, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start, I guess.
No, that's my dad eats it with his meal. He doesn't eat it at the end. He eats the pot. Yeah, he has the dessert and he eats it. Yeah, yeah.
I guess there's a replacement for salad.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no salads in our house. No meat, potatoes, always a vegetable, and then yeah, dessert. But I wasn't like my dad though in that sense. I would wait till the end, but yeah, he had to have it while he ate. It's kind of crazy just how people are brought up back in the day.
Yep.
You know. So what's on your agenda for like this next coming week? You have any big events that you're coming up to showcase in Iowa, Rachel?
I am going to go shoot some stuff for Iowa Pork here. They are doing their March Madness pulled pork challenge. And so it started out, I mean, it's a really cool thing. It started out with a bunch of restaurants in each quadrant of the state. And they've been doing it just like the Final Four, voting it down. So I'm going to go to a restaurant here later today and go try their pulled pork sandwich because they're in the final too. So
is it like online voting then? Is that what, awesome.
So yeah, go to Iowa Pork on Facebook and they've been making posts and go to the most recent one and go vote for your favorite restaurant.
Awesome.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
So a lot of Iowa Pork stuff. What other company do you work with, other companies or just individuals? What is your primary target audience, I guess?
I mean, I have another company, People of Ag, and that is just for any kind of company that's looking for help with creating video content to get their word out there. And then I have Iowa Farm Mama, and that's just mostly my daily life, my family life, things that I go and do and experience in the area, or, you know, any of the farm show trips that I go on. So yeah, it kind of depends. I'm pretty flexible right now.
There you go.
You do recipes and stuff too, don't you? On your
yes,
yeah. Oh, I thought I saw that.
And I love showing kind of more just homey farm recipes. I mean, family favorites, of course, but anything that ties into our area ag, promoting farmers and like pork or beef or corn growers had me do a video for them. Even though I don't grow sweet corn, yeah, it's just kind of a fun way to give families and people out there ideas.
Nice. One of my favorite video, I don't know, what series in TikTok, is that what we call it?
Yes.
Or playlist or however you want to call it, was the corn plant last year.
Andrew, God, you're stealing all my questions and stuff.
Sorry.
Shit.
But you started with a corn plant and you painted it and then you showed the growth every day, right? Cool. Was that just last year? And how did that bring people to find you? It had to be huge.
So I've done it, I think, 3 years now. Okay. 3 years ago, there was a local lady that shared a co-op in Minnesota or Wisconsin, a post that they were doing it. And we were, we didn't plant our corn until like the first part of May. And I was like, oh, I could do that down at the farm just, you know, to see if it works and watch a corn plant grow. And so, yeah, I went, the corn was about, knee high and spray painted it with spray paint. And then every day, because I like going to the farm for walks, I went down and I would take a video and pictures of it to show people online how much a corn plant would grow every day over 2 weeks. And it was actually I was so humbled and honored. Like I would have people reach out to me and say, my kids and I are waiting to see how much the corn plant grew today. Like I didn't think anybody was watching, right? Like you just don't know. And I'm sure farmers thought I was nuts. There were some people that really had a problem with spray paint, but it is pretty amazing how much the plant of a corn gets their nutrients just from the roots, even though it's been spray painted. So
yeah, I wouldn't believe that it would keep growing once you cover up that solar panel, you know. Yeah, it's crazy. I think I asked you that the first time I met. I was like, how would it still grow when you spray paint it? That's just crazy to me. You'd think you'd have to use dyed water or something, but yeah,
you would. I mean, and last year I did another series where after a week, I wanted to really watch how much it grew from 7 days to 14 days. So I picked another color and painted the other stock next to it. And I mean, the only downfall is I'm always choosing, you know, the end of the row.
Oh.
So like, you know, sometimes yeah. those plants always don't grow the best and you just like hope and pray for the best, but it just works well with the lighting and me going down there and late in the afternoon. So that's why I usually pick where I go is more for lighting. Oh.
Yeah. Makes sense. The photographer in you knows yeah. how to do the lighting.
Right.
No, but my two girls loved those videos. Like you said, you didn't think anybody was watching, but it was like, is there another video yet? I'm like, no, but it's not like you don't see it grow here, but it's not painted and it isn't somebody talking about it. So, but yeah, it was, I mean, that's how I originally found you on TikTok. I think it was the girls and I watched the corn plant grow.
Aww, that's awesome.
I can't believe how excited you were when we met Rachel. It was like a little girl meeting Taylor Swift.
Hey,
he was like all excited. And I felt horrible because like I said, I hadn't heard of you, but yeah, now I see all your stuff and I'm like, how did I not hear of her? It's crazy. But awesome. So your boy, he's older now. He's helping on the farm a little. I see he drives truck and does all sorts of stuff. You have a lot of videos riding with him and I'm sure that's fun. So,
he helps an area farmer. He helps his dad as well, but he works really hard. He was old for his class. We held him back in preschool and he has wanted to drive semi truck since he was a little boy. Like he was weird. I'd be passing a semi on the interstate and he'd make me roll down the windows to smell the exhaust. And I was like, whatever.
Oh, wow. I thought he wanted him to honk or something, but wow. Yeah. No.
And, so he, during his senior year of high school, got a CDL and I mean, he's just one of those kids that loves to work. He did not enjoy the classroom experience. He wanted to be out working. And so he would get up early and go load, or not load, but haul a load of corn or soybeans to Burlington and then go to his first class and get his classwork out of the way and keep hauling the rest of the day. So
cool. Yeah, I was definitely that way. I hated school. The only thing I liked was sports. And then now I hate being in the office. I don't mind doing podcasts. They're fun, but mm-hmm. I hate being in the office. I like going to meetings. I like learning things. I like networking. But when it comes to preparing for taxes or anything like that, I am the last one done all the time. I'd much rather be outside working on something. And I'm not like an engine mechanic. I mean, I can hold my own, but I'll tear apart something on a combine or a planter or whatever it might be and, you know, figure it out that way because you can't afford to hire anybody anymore. You kind of have to do your own work.
You get along great with Vinny. He's awesome at that stuff.
Okay, yeah. And you have to just kind of learn on your own. And of course, YouTube helps a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the power of video has just really ramped up over the past couple of years.
Yeah, no kidding.
Do you think that's going to just continue to just explode?
Yeah, when does it end?
Certain, yeah.
I think it will. Just because, you know, everybody's algorithms are putting like-minded individuals in contact or in touch with other like-minded individuals, as well as different industries. And so that's why I kind of really started making videos for YouTube and TikTok. Like, I couldn't figure out how to shut the dome light off in my SUV. Like, and I was so mad, you know, like, it's just so interesting. And then you fall down the different rabbit holes of learning about things that you want to learn about. And
it does make it super easy to learn about things that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd think Rick could have Googled how to see a conversation on X and scrolled, but you know, We're here to help.
Oh my gosh. I'm just getting back. I don't know if you heard that one, Rachel, but yeah, I had a heck of a time with X, as we call it now. If someone would comment on something of mine, I never knew what they were actually commenting on.
He was so pissed. He's like, I don't know what they're even talking about, but they tagged me in it.
Yeah, I would just see the response. I'd be like, okay, what was the response to? And I asked Andrew one day, I'm like, this is one thing I hate about it, because I can never find out what they're talking about. And he's like, well, I just pulled down with my thumb and see what the conversation was. No idea. I had never swiped my finger or thumb on the screen. So now I get to hear about it all the time. Even I think his daughter, Lily, and Peyton, and Carla, his wife, everybody was giving me a hard time this week because we hung out in Omaha and had a good time with the Iowa State game. But, yeah, I guess I'm just...
Yeah, you guys were having a fun time.
Oh.
Too much fun. Oof.
It was a blast.
Rough weekend.
Are you going to try to go to the Sweet 16?
If it wasn't Easter weekend, we would go. Carla and I would go to Boston. The kids wouldn't go this time, but... So I guess we just hope Iowa State wins, and then we'll go to Phoenix, right?
There you go.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. So
that would be.
Don't let people make fun of you because you don't know what you're doing. Like, I asked my kids when I started TikTok a little over 2 years ago. I asked my daughter, and you guys have kids and daughters. Like, I was like, how do you make a TikTok? And they're like, we don't know. I was like, you have them up there. And they're like, yeah, we don't know how to make those. I was like, okay. Like. And that's how I had to learn. I was like, great, my kids don't even have faith in me.
Yeah, I thought TikTok was just for, like, kids dancing and stuff like that. And
yeah, like, that persona out there is ridiculous. Like,
yeah, I didn't know you could learn stuff. I thought YouTube was kind of the learning one, or X. I didn't know Twitter was about learning. I literally thought it was just about, yeah, dancing or whatever in front of the camera. Yeah, I had no idea. Or your phone, I guess. There's no such thing as a camera anymore.
Right. But, yeah. One of the coolest videos I saw on TikTok for knowledge side, and I'd never heard this.
The candle wax.
The candle wax. I think I told you that. I mean, I told him. Yeah. I had a bolt that I could not get off on my strip till rig. I had to cut another one off like the day before because I could not get it loose. And I saw on TikTok that you just heat it up and take a candle and put it by the nut, and it
melts.
I could have got it off with a ratchet after that.
I did not see that.
Yeah, the wax melts into
the threads.
The threads, and yeah.
I'm like, that one video has saved me an hour worth of just drama of dealing with some stupid nut or bolt that I can't get out. I'm like, waste a lot of time on TikTok, but man, it was worth it.
I had never heard of it either, but yeah, you told me about it last summer. I've never had to use that yet, but I look forward to the day I do. Yeah. I'll record it if I do.
Now I want to go buy a candle from Dollar General and
that's what. Yeah, it sounds like that's what you need, is just a packet of birthday candles is what you had, wasn't it?
I asked Carla. I'm like, hey Carla, can I get a candle? And she's like, what do you need a candle for? Because I was down at the shop. I'm like, I got to try this thing I saw on TikTok. And so it worked. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I thought maybe it was fake news, but it wasn't.
And it was just a birthday candle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a great, but he only needed, and you didn't even use the whole thing either.
Said. Yep. Coolest thing I have ever learned on TikTok, probably.
I want to do that now.
Yep. So find an old rusty bolt or nut that you can't get off. And then try even penetrating oil. Still wouldn't come off. Birthday candle. Works great.
That's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, like, and think about it. This is what's been, like, the most intriguing part to me is, you know, my bucket list item is to visit a farm in every state. And I think, like, you guys can probably relate to this. Like, you get so hung up on corn and soybeans that you forget about all the other ag out there, and like it really, like, you get to see it all on TikTok.
Yeah, it's awesome. That actually, I've been thinking about growing sorghum to be honest with you, and we talked to some guys at the Commodity Classic about it, the sorghum board actually, but since then I've found other people, or I've followed them on X or whatever, that grow sorghum, and I haven't reached out to anybody personally, but I'm sure everybody's willing to share. I mean, I've shared a lot of I wouldn't say knowledge, but people have asked me things in the past about strip tilling or whatever, or when I had trucks, they'd ask me, you know, hey, how do you get loads? What do you have to do? Stuff like that. So it's just so nice having a group of a network to reach out with. It's all about networking. I actually did an interview yesterday for a co-op newsletter, and they interviewed me because I was just a younger farmer in the area. And one of the questions was like, what would you tell the younger generation, which I consider myself only out, you know, I'll be 43. I consider anybody from like 50 and under young farmers, but, what would I tell younger farmers getting started? And my first thing was networking and joining peer groups, or Total Acre, for example, or the Mac group with Kevin Cobb, or some kind of group where you can just network and learn things, because I don't have three or four farmers come to my office every day and just sit and talk about farming. You don't do that. And if you do talk about it, you're at the gas station and you're not talking about it. You're talking about everybody. That's the worst. You know, why is he doing that?
The weather.
Yeah. The weather. And, you know, so I said, the first thing you have to do is you got to network. You got to work with people and figure things out. And then you need a damn good marketing broker to help you market your grain, because that's what's going to keep you going. Anybody can grow corn. You know, Andrew and I we go above and beyond to grow more corn and beans for myself, but farmers around us grow just as good with doing it the way their dad or their grandpa did it, but they don't have the marketing figured out. And it's so important. I do. I feel that way. I don't know. That was my thought.
Rachel, what do you guys do for marketing? Do you do the marketing, or does Vinny do the marketing? How does that work in your operation?
So we have a local marketing company that we use here, and they help us with selling our crop. But yeah, by far, like, having the confidence in selling your grain at the right time for the right break even for your operation, just because, you know, everybody's operation is so different. And that's just something that a lot of people don't stop and think about if you're not in ag. Like, you know, we all may farm corn and soybeans, but everybody's operation is different, from the equipment we use to how we plant it to when, and the different fertilizers or sprays, you know, that we use that have an outcome on our crops. So yeah, just dialing in your marketing and not being, you know, I feel bad for the people who were scared to sell grain, and now they're like kicking themselves, you know?
Yeah.
I thought $5.80 was a bad price when I sold some last fall, but now I wish I would have sold it all. Holy cow.
Yeah. You know, so
no idea.
Yeah. There's so many options out there. And definitely trusting and having that partner is very important to your farming operation.
Yeah. They keep me in line. You know, I've talked about this before on other podcasts, but I work with agmarket.net, and Brian Split is my go-to, and he's kind of the chart guy, but of course they all work together. I mean, you get the knowledge from Matt Bennett and some of the other guys as well, but he keeps me in line. He keeps me not getting greedy. He was the one that called me last June when I was spraying corn, and he's like, I think you need to sell some new crop corn. I was like, gosh, you know, it's only $5.80. Because everybody's like, oh, wait for six. Well, never, it never hit six. But he said, sell some for this year and sell it for next year. So I actually have $5 corn sold for next year already that I did last year. Yeah. But I sold quite a bit, and I feel good about it. I'm not going to brag. And then sold all my beans for like $13.30. So that was awesome too. And a lot of it was because of them and him just saying, hey, do this. And I trusted him. He's done well for me, and I can't thank him enough, you know? So
yeah, those relationships are important, as well as, you know, you guys really hit on it, networking. Mm-hmm. you know, even someone for Vinny to text my brother, just a question. You know, sometimes I think we get too scared of asking each other, you know, what do you think about this? Or how should I do this? Or do you have any tips on this? And it's so awesome to have that community from the people that I've met on TikTok, you know, from all, you may not want to ask your next door neighbor, but you know, some of those people stayed away. They'd be like, heck yeah, I'll give you some advice. And so networking is huge.
I know I'm talking a lot now, but I didn't get a chance to earlier because Andrew was asking all the questions, but, I'm sorry. That's a good thing that Andrew asked them because I can never think of them. But what I'm trying to say is, so since we started this podcast, I've had more text messages and feedback from my friends locally. Like, for instance, a friend of mine, Brandon Wood, texted me the other day, and he's like, so why do you want to go away from anhydrous? Because we talked about, Andrew and I did last week, about what we want to do for 2024, and I just explained to him, you know, what my thoughts were, and I'm glad he asked. And normally he probably wouldn't have, because it's not like we see each other all the time, but a lot of people get carried away in like the jealousy or the like, oh, I don't want to share ideas because I don't want them to be successful. And then they go rent a farm from me or do this or that. But, you know, no one person is entitled to a piece of dirt, I don't think. I think everybody works hard. The 10,000 acre and the 40,000 acre farmers, they all started somewhere. They work to where they are, you know, and people will be like, oh, you know, this 20-year-old kid, he needs a start. Well, he does. And I thank my dad for the start I've gotten. But on the other hand, I've done things on my own to get where I am. And I feel it's a different day and age, of course. I can say this now since I've been farming for 25 years, but entitlement isn't a thing. You still have to work for it, and you have to, you know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you have to be creative about it.
Yeah.
Entitlement. Yeah.
And, you know, and I sold equipment for a few years. I sold Pioneer Seed for a few years. I sold chemical. I mean, I built up, you know, good cash flow, good income, and I was able to buy equipment as we went on. And, you know, there, you can't just start farming. You have to have something else. You have to have, you know, buy yourself a truck, haul grain, you know, do custom spraying, whatever you can do, you know.
Well, and also, like, people also have a mindset of they need everything big, brand new.
Yeah,
And that doesn't cash flow when you're just starting.
No.
You know?
My
brother and I, we have older equipment. I mean, the horsepower is good, and, you know, it gets the job done. You just have to keep working into that.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare that it happens overnight for anybody.
Yeah, like when I farmed with the other, you know, it was me and my dad and a couple other guys. We farmed together, and we had way too much equipment, like tractors, like everything was hooked to something. It was just crazy. And the first thing I told my dad was like, I only need one tractor, because my dad, he doesn't operate it anymore. I'm like, I'm only one person. All I need a tractor that will strip till for me, plant for me, and run the grain cart.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I do. And I do all of those things. Or if I'm not in the combine, it'd be in the grain cart. But like, why do you need 10 other tractors? I get it if it breaks down, but that's why I got something new, so it's more reliable.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to have new. You just have to take care of it.
Right.
So you're exactly right. You don't have to have all the new, latest, and greatest. But it is nice when you can afford it and can have it, but you don't have to start with it. No.
You know, I remember an Iowa Farm Bureau, analysis. He was a speaker, and he was like, don't have more tractors than you have people. And
there you go.
That kind of made sense. Like, it's like, yeah, like what you said, you had all these pieces of equipment, tractors hooked up to equipment doing nothing.
Yeah.
Someone was paying for.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little bit more about your operation. So corn, soybeans, how was the weather last year? Was the crops decent in your area?
We were pleasantly surprised with our crops. And, you know, it makes you wonder. My brother and I talked about this a couple of times this fall, and I've talked about it with some other farmers. It almost feels like our seed genetics are more productive in drier years. I don't know why I feel that way. I mean, you're sitting there thinking that it's all going to burn up and you're not going to have a crop. And everybody had a crop. And some people are saying they had the best crop that they've had.
Yeah.
So our genetics have really come a long way in the past 20 years since I started farming. So
yeah. When I sold Pioneer, when they started the whole Aquamax thing, you know, drought resistant corn, a lot of their research at that time was done in like Nebraska on non-irrigated stuff. So, I mean, companies have been working to this for a long time and it's only going to get better. But I also, Andrew knows, I always preach that better fertility has helped us on drought years too. We're all starting to figure out, you know, soil biology, fertility, all this stuff. So it goes hand in hand. And I got to apologize if I keep lisping because I just got Invisalign yesterday. So I'm not quite used to the whole retainer or so. Yeah. If I get a little lispy,
definitely invisible.
Yeah, it is. Except for I got these little nubs on 16 of my teeth. Let's go into the Invisalign story here for a second. If you've never had, I never had braces growing up, but I had this one crooked tooth on the bottom, so I wanted to get it fixed.
Okay.
And why, when I'm 43 years old, I all of a sudden wanted to get it fixed, I have no idea, but like, let's do it. So I'm thinking I'm just going to get like this Invisalign on my bottom teeth. Nope. They have to do the top and the bottom to keep your bite and everything in line. Well, what they do to hold these clear plates or mouthpieces is they have to like glue these little nubs or like holders onto your teeth to help hold them on.
Okay.
So when I take it off, I still have like these little rectangular circles glued to my teeth and I can still feel them. Yeah.
So how often do you have to get those things replaced?
They stay on. Those stay on your teeth, but you get a different retainer every 2 weeks. So I'll have these things on my teeth for like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. And if I don't have the retainers in my mouth, I cannot bite down on my back teeth because I have a little nub or whatever on my bottom that keeps me from biting. I literally, like when I eat now, I have to chew with my front teeth.
I did not know that they put glue on your teeth with Invisalign. Yeah. I just thought it was a retainer that you just
popped. That's the one.
Yep. That's what I thought too. But this helps pull everything and keep it the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't hurt or anything. It doesn't bother me at all. Even yesterday, it was getting annoying having it in my mouth. But and then the lisping I have going on. But
I honestly didn't notice it. Yeah.
Oh, I can.
I have to ask, like, when you take those retainers off, you probably can't eat anything because it'll get stuck to the glue, won't it?
No. So they're just glued on. So once they're glued on, they're like hard or dry. So it's just like your normal tooth at that point. But you have to wear them for 22 hours a day. You can only drink water. You could drink other things, dark things, but it stains them really easy. So you'll look goofy for a couple of weeks if you drink coffee and then all of a sudden your retainers are yellow and look dumb. But
I don't know what I do without my coffee.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's why you have 2 hours a day that you can drink coffee. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'll be happy with the outcome, but right now I don't know. I always do weird shit. I don't know why I'm always that guy. I had I decided I wanted my tonsils removed when I was like 22, which was a good thing. It happened to be, but for like 3 months, I had a sore throat. It was the worst thing ever. I lost like 15 pounds in 2 days. I couldn't eat. It was so sore. I do not recommend getting your tonsils out when you're older. Then I decided, oh, I'll get my tattoos removed. So I've done tattoo removal stuff. I mean, I've had LASIK. What's that?
Did it actually work?
It does. Yeah, I'm not even done, but I had a barbed wire, of course, you know, because that was a cool thing back then. We're all kind of in that age group. And yeah, that's pretty well gone. But I have a Dallas Cowboys star on my back that I'm still trying to get rid of. And not that I didn't like I still like the Cowboys, obviously, but the first tattoos I got were in some dude's bedroom in the back of his house when I was 18. You know, it was like, he was
sketchy.
Yeah. I remember asking him if there were new needles, and I saw him take them out of the package. So that was pretty important to me. Good. But yeah. But
did you guys see that Matt's down in Louisville was this last week?
Yes. Those trucks were amazing.
Oh, yes. That's what was going on. I've seen a whole bunch of, yeah.
Okay. And you talk about tattoos. So Charlie Trucker was there, and he mm-hmm. was, there were some guys that got their signature on a piece of paper. And on their way leaving Louisville, they stopped and had his, how about it, Charlie Trucker tattooed on.
Really?
Did a video. Yes.
Okay.
Oh. That's awesome.
I mean, they're putting tattoos on. Like, maybe you just need to go get Andrew's signature and some slogan.
Yeah.
I'll do that over your
hard pass for me. I would.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboy logo. You can cover that up.
One of my thoughts was just to lighten it up and maybe do a cover up or something. But
you do a Farmer Sense podcast cover up.
Yeah. If that ever takes off,
it will.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I think it will. It takes time. It's only been 2 months.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what exciting things are you going to do this summer? Do you have anything planned that's going to be social media related maybe? Or,
you know, I don't know.
You just kind of, they come to you at the time, or do you plan some stuff out?
Scheduling it out. Definitely World Pork is coming up, and that is in June. If you've never been to the World Pork Expo, you need to go.
Is that Cedar Falls?
No, Des Moines at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was in Iowa. Yep.
So you pretty much pay your gate fee, get your pass, and like, you've never seen so much free food and drinks. Like, it's down at the Varied Industries building.
Drinks.
Yeah. A lot of people have different pork items in their booths, and it's definitely not like going to the Iowa State Fair where you have to pay for everything. It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. And you get to see all the new pork industry stuff out there.
Awesome.
So that's the next big show that I'll have coming up. But it seems like all of the shows have kind of, you know, they'll quiet down here for a few months until Farm Progress Show.
Yeah. And I'm sure you'll be a big hit down there. You probably got a whole bunch of stuff planned, don't you? Or
not yet.
Even
I'll be going. So,
well, maybe we'll set up a booth and you can do all the editing and video and everything for us.
There you go.
Just got to find somebody to sponsor us so they'll pay for it.
There you go.
I'd hate to have you do it, you know, pro bono. But yeah, well,
hey. Well, so for somebody that's starting out that wants to make a social media presence, what would you recommend? Like, how would you start on TikTok, X? I found like X is hard to get followers.
I would say TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, starting a page on Facebook, Instagram. There's Instagram as well. LinkedIn. Just starting is the hardest part. Getting the confidence to speak on camera, talk on camera. I mean, you guys know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to do it and then not worry about what people think.
That's right. And I heard a really interesting thing about social media. Like, social media is not for your family and neighbors and friends. It is for people of like-minded interests.
Yep.
And that is really what the social media platforms have been for me, is meeting people that I never would have met just doing my thing without social media.
Who are the coolest people that you've met through the social media side?
You can't say us.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was easy.
So some people that...
or maybe someone you never thought you'd meet, but you got to because of this. Maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of farm talkers. Yeah. I'll never forget at Iowa Ag Expo, Nick Hansen, Corey Hillborough, Tanner Winterhoff, Manure Mafia, they were walking by my booth, and I had Nick Hansen came up and spoke to me. That was when I was really early in TikTok, and he was always commenting on my TikToks. And him and Corey were standing there talking to me, and I was like, "Are you the Nick Hansen that comments on my TikToks?" You know, because I didn't know where he lived or, you know, a whole lot. And he's like, "Yeah, that's me. Like, you're Iowa Farm Mama." And, you know, so that got me into the farm talk community. You know, just talking to some of those people, Buck Mee, and going to shows, to farm talk meetups, like Mike Burkhart. He's in Indiana. You know, just getting, like, meeting people that I feel like I'm always on TikTok. I don't know why. And then going to Louisville, I got to meet a lot of farm talkers. That seems to be a big space where a lot of farm talkers go. Yeah. So there, I met Mr. and Mrs. Growing Corn 2020. Let's see here, Bushels and Barrels. That's where I met Charlie Trucker in person. You get to meet those people in person that you're commenting on their TikToks, or maybe they're commenting on yours here and there. Just getting involved, active, putting yourself out there.
Awesome. I thought that the commodity classic would be more, you know, where a lot of the TikTokers or farm speakers, however you want to call it, would be at, but they weren't there. So Louisville is kind of the place, you think?
I mean, right now,
Commodity classic was more like the who's who, maybe. I met a lot of great, cool people, but it was more just high yield growers and companies.
Well, and you know, like, I mean, Commodity Classic, the ticket price is completely different. Like, yeah, that's more of an education / platform area for farmers. Mm-hmm. And maybe the location just wasn't as centralized for farmers. I don't know.
Louisville seems to be like a party.
Yeah.
Atmosphere. Would you agree?
Yes.
That's what I think.
Even my dad said back 40 years ago it was. I was like.
Yeah. And I only went there last year. That was my first time going. I didn't know what to expect or.
Yeah, I've never been.
Well, we're going to go next year.
You should. It's huge.
It is.
And they say that Matt's Truck Show is even bigger than Louisville Farm Show.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I saw a ton of trucks, so it wouldn't surprise me, but it's so big. It's like 12 acres under concrete roof or something. I mean, there's a bunch of different buildings connected, but.
Right. Like, imagine the entire Iowa State Fairgrounds pretty much under roof everywhere. Yeah. You know, like.
It's crazy. And it's packed. I mean, with stuff.
Yes. And like, you know, you're walking through. It's a huge crowd of people. They have a very good following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Commodity Classic was nice because it wasn't crowded. You could actually walk up to a booth and you could talk to somebody in their booth for 15 minutes without being interrupted or however long it was. That's what I liked about it. I didn't go to a lot. I went to a couple breakouts early on, but Mm-hmm. Nothing too spectacular, but we just kind of walked around and talked to people at booths or wherever, whoever we thought, you know, we wanted to learn more on or whatever it was. So,
I think next year, isn't it in Denver?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think you'll go there?
Yes, absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, because Jacob Cordova, the CEO of Bright Yeti Seed Treatment that I work with closely, he's from Denver.
Okay.
So definitely be out there. Hopefully he might have a booth or something. But, yeah, I don't know.
It'll depend on where Total Acre is probably for me, if it's at the same location. Because if it's in the same week somewhere else, it makes it pretty tough to travel.
They won't have it in the same week because Hula and Dowdy will have to be at the Commodity Classic.
That's what I was guessing, unless they're in the same location like we were this year.
Yeah, before they always had them a week apart.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'd love to go again next year. So yeah, it is a different environment, and I don't know. I thought it was neat. It was very neat.
Yeah.
Do you do stuff at the state fair then? Like the Iowa State Fair? Did you do some stuff this last year?
I went and worked in the Iowa pork booth for a day. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably go to the Iowa State Fair as well.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had anybody you were partnering with there other than Iowa pork.
Let's like put it out there. Like Iowa Farm Mama wants to go work at the Iowa State Fair.
Yep, she's looking for somebody. Contact her.
Yeah.
How do we contact you? IowaFarmMama.com.
Yep, I have that website. IowaFarmMama@gmail.com. That's my email. And then you can find Iowa Farm Mama on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. And then People of Ag, same way, PeopleofAgMedia@gmail.com. And then People of Ag on TikTok and YouTube. So that's still pretty fresh, pretty new. So, yeah.
And if you haven't seen her, Mama is spelled M-A-M-A. It's correct. Not M-O-M-M-A. I think when we first met, I was trying to find you on social media, and I kept typing in M-O, and I couldn't find it. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. M-A-M-A. Mm-hmm. Iowa Farm Mama.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on our podcast. I mean, I know you have other podcasts and you have tons of content, and we appreciate you taking the time.
And we appreciate you sharing and liking our stuff too, helping out our algorithm.
Yes, so thank you.
And I'm happy to do that for others. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for having me. This has been fun, and I apologize for the technical difficulty early.
No, that was a good thing. We got you all fixed up. Now you're fast again.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so the viewers know, when we started, she was moving her lips, but nothing was coming out for a while because there was all sorts of connection issues, but we started over and we got it done. So thanks again.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Take care.